Less than 2 weeks until the NFL draft, and we have all the answers that you need for your Dynasty Superflex rookie draft picks. We're going to dive into a mock draft with Andrew Erickson, Fantasy Pros. I'm going to throw in some trade offers to see what could tempt himself and Rich out of making a pick. Let's go. Yes, we are here and joined by Andrew Erickson of Fantasy Pros, one of our favorite people to chop it up with. Had a great show last year, and we're back for another. Andrew, how much do you enjoy this time of year?
Oh, it's the best time of year, I think. It's fun because, you know, you have basketball. I think basketball has, like, this playoff. I don't really know because I don't follow basketball, but I know that basketball is literally competing, and they have real games going on. Like, there's golf going on, but, like, people are still talking about the NFL, which is the farthest. It's the only sport that's not being played in America right now, and yet it's the one that we all want to talk about, so... I'm excited.
Okay, so we are going Superflex, rookie, tight end, premium. We're going to go through two rounds. I'm going to throw some trades of the guys as we go. Rich, I'm going to come to you first for the first pick because I've kept you quiet so far. But we all kind of know where most people are going with the 101. But if it is Caleb Williams for you, how confident are you in year one returns for him?
I think I'm as confident as I've probably been about any prospect, really. I don't think you can ever be super confident and predict, you know, top five seasons for any rookie. But let's be honest, this is probably the best surrounding talent we've ever seen a number one overall pick land in terms of quarterback position. So he's got two stud wide receivers. He's got two competent tight ends. The O-line's above average. Still needs a little bit of work, but I've got slight questions about the play caller, but outside of that, this is, you know, wheels up. This is a great landing spot. So, yeah, there's going to be some teething problems. There's going to be some rookie issues. There always is. But I think he's going to be a reliable QB2 for fantasy as a rookie, and he's got that QB1 upside, absolutely.
Yeah. Andrew, how high do you see yourself ranking Caleb Williams for this year in redraft?
I think that he's got to be at least, like, in that back end QB1 tier, maybe even like high end QB2. I think like top 15 is probably appropriate for him. You know, one of the trends I was looking at was DeAndre Swift's teammates the last 2 years. So Jalen Hurts, Jamal Williams have averaged like 16 rushing touchdowns. So either Roshan Johnson is going to score 18 touchdowns this year, or Caleb Williams could score a lot of rushing touchdowns too, because for some reason, DeAndre Swift is just not a good goal line running back. So yeah, I think Caleb Williams with all those weapons there. Again, how good is Shane Waldron as a play caller? Like, we're not really sure. I think that's the big question mark. But, I mean, most rookie quarterbacks that taken first overall land in, like, the stone-cold worst situations, like, you could ask for. I mean, but the Bears aren't even supposed to be picking here. Like, they have the Panthers pick. So, like, they're not the bad team. Like, Bryce Young is still on the bad team. So, I think a bit more interesting question is, like, if the Panthers were picking first overall, would they just take Caleb Williams too? When they did, like, oh, sorry, Bryce. Like, we'll just trade you to someone else.
Josh Rosen 2.0, absolutely. I think they take him and, you know, not think twice, really.
I don't think David Tepper's the kind of owner who would even feel remotely bad about it. And I think that would be one of the best decisions they've made in a while. Andrew, of a 102, who are you going with?
So this is interesting because my coworker at Fantasy Pros, D-Bro, he released a video about Caleb Williams. You know, should he Caleb Williams be the 101 in Superflex drafts? And I just commented on the video. I was like, yes, he should. But I'd actually watch the full video because I thought it was going to be about, like, the receivers should go first. But he actually made a pretty compelling case for Jaden Daniels that I thought was kind of interesting. And we just look at it from, like, a value standpoint. Who's more valuable right now in Superflex Dynasty? Anthony Richardson or insert wide receiver name here? It's Anthony Richardson. He played four games last year. That's all he had to do. He played four games, scored a couple rushing touchdowns, and he's a top five quarterback in Superflex and is more valuable than almost all the receivers. So, like, if you're just looking for the barometer, like, of what you need to get, like, if Jaden Daniels is just, like, a fine quarterback, like, he doesn't need to be, like, even, like, that amazing. Like, if he does what Richardson does, like, something close to that, like, you're getting so much value. So I'm going to go a little bit off the cuff here, and I'll go with Jaden Daniels.
If Jaden Daniels lands with your New England Patriots, How confident are you going to feel about him?
I'm not taking that if he's on the Patriots. So to be clear, only if he's on the Commanders or if somehow he ends up on the Vikings or something like that. Which I don't. I think it's going to be the Commanders. I think that's kind of locked and loaded unless they take McCarthy. And then, I mean, yeah. But I just think it's the rushing, man. Like I think that he's going to run. Like, and we're not surprised if he plays four games, gets hurt because he does not protect himself whatsoever. But he puts up 22 points per game, and that's all people care about. And then we look at the dynasty rankings next year. We're like, well, he's top five. Like, there you go. So.
Yeah, for all the big hits he took, and there were a lot of big hits, he didn't really, you know, pick up too many injuries during college, did he? He didn't miss prolonged periods of time. So perhaps he just has the luck of the draw and can survive a little bit. But Rich, I'm going to come to you at 103, but I've got a potential trade-off for you. Marvin Harrison is on the board here. Would you be taking that? Or if I offered you Amon-Ra straight, St. Brown straight up, which would you prefer? The known quantity or potential massive outlier range of Marvin Harrison Jr.?
Man, this is really hard because I've basically got almost the exact same value on them. And I feel like I've been debating in my head for the last 2 months of who I'd prefer out of these two. I've settled that I would prefer Amon-Ra St. Brown as it stands. I think that, yes, Marvin Harrison potentially has the higher ceiling, but I think the known kind of quantity of Amon-Ra St. Brown, there's the talk in the last 2 weeks that Jared Goff's going to get that extension. And I think that for me, I've got to smash Amon-Ra St. Brown here over as good a prospect as Marvin Harrison is.
Okay, well, we'll put that aside. Of 103, do you expect most mock Superflex mock drafts for those quarterbacks to go 1-2 ahead of Marvin Harrison at the minute, or are you expecting to be on the pick at 3 and looking at the quarterbacks instead?
I think that I'm very different to what everybody else seems to be in terms of how they value Jane Daniels. I get the, you know, the affinity and the appeal of the rushing upside. But I see some real flaws and some real concerns in the game in terms of his ability to process from the pocket, his ability to avoid sacks. And I'm seriously scared about him weighing 200 pounds and playing like he's Josh Allen weighing 250. So I'd be shocked personally if Jane Daniels goes 1-2. But it seems like that's the way the consensus is kind of going. I'm going to go Drake May here. I think that There's people that, you know, we've been through this cycle and it feels like Drake May was held up as a peer of Caleb Williams and people have just been knocking him. And I think the hate has gone too far. I still think he's an elite prospect. I think he's basically got one little concern that I've got in terms of his footwork, but I think that's very addressable once he gets into a, you know, with an NFL coach and works through it. So I've got very few concerns and I think he's got one of the highest floors of any prospect in this draft. So as appealing as it is to go and get a potential top five dynasty wide receiver in Marvin Harrison, I think, you know, as Andrew said, quarterback is where the value is. So I've got to go and grab Drake May right here.
Andrew, in your latest mock, Fantasy Pros, you had Drake May going to your New England Patriots. Would you feel okay about taking him at 103 there?
Oh, God. My heart says yes, but my brain says no. So that's the issue here, because I think that if Drake May were to go to the Patriots, I don't know how much he would actually play in year one. That would be my concern. And as much as we like to think that, oh, dynasty, it's all about the long-term game, but what you do in year one matters so much about how your value fluctuates. Like if Drake May doesn't play at all, he plays four games, like he's going to be significantly less valuable than every other quarterback, probably potentially even JJ McCarthy. If he ends up playing more, potentially in a better offense like the Minnesota Vikings, it might not be the time to draft him now. It should be to look at him next year, you know, in 2025, when the Patriots have addressed a receiver to add, have addressed a tackle. Because right now it's like, they don't have a reason to throw him to the wolves. Like, what's the point? Like, he's 21 years old. Like, he's still young. Like, you have time. And the thing that you have to keep in mind with the Patriots, because Gerard Mayo is their head coach, they can't like show their cards offensively with Alex Van Pelt. Like, if they just like unveil this amazing offense, then Van Pelt's gone. It's like, see ya. Like, he's going to go get hired. So it's like, they almost got to like kind of keep everything intact. And how do they do that? Is like, they just don't play well, like overall. But behind the scenes, Drake May is learning. Like, he's understanding what he's doing. He's cleaning up the footwork. Like Rich said, that's what I want. Like, and then maybe at the end of the season, you see a couple games of him like flash, like, okay, here we go. Kind of like a Mahomes. So that's what I'm hoping for. So, but for fantasy, I would not be happy to draft Drake May for the Patriots.
Okay, so you're up at the 104. And before we get to your pick, because I feel like it's going to be pretty obvious here, in Superflex, would you take the 104, Tua Tagovailoa, or the 104?
104. I don't want Tua. I don't know if I need to say anything, because I feel like his value is just not high in general. Like, who wants Tua? Like, I traded Tua away for like Mac Jones, and like, looking back on it, obviously it's a horrible trade. And I'm like, honestly, like, I mean, I could have traded more. Like, I don't know.
Where's the Tua line? If I offered you the 107 or Tua, are you going 107?
Yeah, it's probably the 7, because I feel like this, like a lot of us are talking about this draft as like, you want a top 7 pick in this rookie draft, and then you kind of see like a tier fall off where there's more question marks. So I think, yeah, I would probably take that.
Okay, Bear, your pick. You going with Marvin Harrison, or are you going to throw another wild card in here?
I'm going Marvin Harrison. Yeah, I just think I think that with Rome and Malik Nabers, again, we can talk about, you know, how explosive Malik Nabers is and how like much of an alpha Roma Dunze is, but those guys, I feel like, would not survive bad landing spots as good as Marvin Harrison. I think that's kind of how I feel about it. Like, I feel like Marvin Harrison is the most agnostic landing spot, because look, people, I've been putting out polls about like, okay, where's the worst landing spot? And everyone thinks it's the Giants. One of these three guys is going to the Giants. like we got to wake up and be like, and realize that one of these three receivers is going to be a Giant at the end of the day. And the one I feel the most confident of surviving that would be Marvin Harrison Jr. Just because he's going to get peppered with targets under, like, I'm not worried about him necessarily with the Giants as I would be with the other two receivers, but the other two receivers, like, how good is it if you land on the Bears? Like, for year one, is it just a JSN situation where it's like, yeah, you're the third guy, but you don't get to eat? And, you know, Arizona is obviously the best spot. Like, who goes there? So they would kind of get elevated, but, and then the Patriots too. So, I think that the Giants are going to crush some dreams for these receivers, and everyone kind of puts them in the same tier, I think, for the most part. And I'm kind of like, why don't we just start ranking like the landing spots then? If we can't decide, like, they're all like so mixed together, it's like, then let's put some value on, well, who's going to be on the Giants? Like, and talk about that.
No, that makes sense. And if you're watching this and you're interested in more rookie profiles, if you haven't got enough already, check out the description below. We've got all our rookie profiles, wide receivers, running backs, tight ends, sleeper videos coming out this week. They're all there. Hit the subscribe button with everything you need to set you up for this rookie draft season. Rich, at the 105, if I offered you the 109 and the 204, would you trade back?
No. I think that there's a teardrop after this pick, and I think I'd want to stay in this top five. I'm going to grab Malik Nabers here. I think that his ceiling for me is as high as any wide receiver in this draft. I agree with Andrew. I think Marvin Harrison is the safest and the most landing spot agnostic, but I think Malik Nabers, if he hits, if he gets used in the way we're all dreaming about, his ceiling is unbelievable. And I think his ability as a route runner with the ball in his hands to be used in space, I'm so excited about what he could be. So for the fifth pick in a rookie draft, I'm really happy to go and chase all of that upside and go and grab Malik Nabers.
Yeah, it really does feel like a year where there are just no wrong answers in first round picks in this sort of first 6-7 picks. Like, there's a couple of leagues I've got where I went all in and have no first round picks. And at the time when you're winning a championship or fighting it out for a championship, it felt fantastic. But this is the cost you have to kind of live with now. One of the main talking points about this rookie class has been the lack of top-end talent of a running back position. I think because of that, we're going to see some interesting trades for running backs when rookie drafts are actually happening. Andrew, if I offered you Kyren Williams straight up for the 106, would you do it? Or do you feel like there's enough quality on the board here that there's no way you're trading out?
No, I'm going to keep the 106.
And who would you go with here?
I'm going to go with Odunze. Yeah. Alpha receiver.
So if Odunze ends up with the Giants, how confident are you going to be in him in redraft this year? We know, obviously, dynasty, a lot could change with the Giants, and we probably don't need to overthink it too much, because if Daniel Jones goes, there's a good chance that there's some reasonably intelligent people with the Giants and they might land on a better situation. But how confident would you be that Dunze can be a hit this year?
Tell me how many games Drew Lock plays. maybe that should be the real question. No, I still think that I'd be confident enough in Odunze to not really like overly be worried about it. Again, like people point to the Giants situation. And again, I don't necessarily agree with the Giants being like this horrible, like that's a rookie receiver walking into it 180 targets. Like are we worried about any of those guys on that team? I mean, Darius Slayton is like the king of wide receiver 40 finishes single year. Like we know he's going to be a wide receiver 40. And then they have a bunch of slot receivers like Wandale, Jalen Hyatt, like Rome Odunze. Just like I get from day one, he's going to stay. I remember last year it was like all about Darren Waller, right? Like how like big of a monster he looks. It's like that was a 32 year old tight end who's now contemplating retirement. Like that was their best offensive player. And then they got rid of Saquon. So it's like Rome is like going to step for day one and be like, well, you're the offense. So like, get ready. Like, so even if he's not efficient, I think he just gets so much volume that I think he'd probably be happy with the pick.
Yeah. Rich, do you feel like Odunze's skill set would mesh well with Daniel Jones?
I'm not sure it matters, to be brutally honest, for Dynasty, because I don't think Daniel Jones is going to be the quarterback in the second half of the season into next season. So I think that, you know, if we're worrying too much about Daniel Jones for the dynasty value of who you're picking there, I think you're better off playing redraft rather than dynasty, quite frankly. I think you need to be viewing, you know, the Giants quarterback situation as fluid, and let's just focus on getting talent and hoping that that prevails rather than worrying about the quarterback position for dynasty personally.
So these first six picks, slightly different order, how we've kind of seen them go sometimes. We've seen Marvin Harrison at the 102 sometimes and a little bit of shuffling. But generally, this tier of six players is pretty well established now. Andrew, what do you think would have to happen for somebody to firmly establish themselves in these first six picks, like maybe JJ McCarthy or Brock Bowers? Is there a particular landing spot for either of them that if they landed in, they would automatically jump into those first six picks for you?
I think if McCarthy were to go to the Vikings, like if that actually like ends up happening, I feel like he might be able to jump maybe May, or again, insert quarterback that goes to the Patriots versus quarterback goes to the Vikings. Like, I mean, if it's close for you between the prospects, like I have no doubt in my mind, at least in year one, who's going to be more productive. It's probably going to be the Vikings quarterback. Like I don't think that that's going off on a limb or anything by saying that. So I think you could see McCarthy hopping over one of the quarterbacks, depending on who goes to New England. But I don't know. I don't think Bowers is going to leap any of those receivers, because even if someone goes to the Giants, or when someone goes to the Giants, because we're talking about like how these receivers are kind of team proof to an extent, or at least that's kind of how they're viewed. But like Bowers as a tight end slot, like power slot guy, like he's got to go to a team that knows what they're doing. Like everyone's like, oh, the Jets, this is great. It's like, have you guys seen Nathaniel Hackett's offenses? Like, do we really want to trust this guy to use someone like Brock Bowers, who's not, oh, line up in line. Okay, he's inline tight end. It's like, no, he's not. Like, he's a slot tight end. Like you have to acknowledge that, and teams can say whatever they want, but like, we know who the smart teams are, and we know who the teams that have not shown to be smart. So I think Bowers is really like the most landing spot dependent. I'm not so sure that even after he's drafted, it's going to be like, well, where are the targets? Like, that's going to be the first question versus, well, does he actually fit this offense? Like, can he actually be successful like he was at Georgia? So that's the concern, I think. And I think that would prevent Bowers from hopping any of these top three receivers.
Well, Rich, it is your pick. And as the Jets fan who is all too familiar with Nathaniel Hackett's offense, are you taking Brock Bowers here and believing that Nathaniel Hackett will suddenly discover 100 screen passes for him?
No, I'm definitely not. Can I just piggyback off Andrew's point there? Because I think that was absolutely phenomenal. And I don't think we give that enough credence in terms of landing spot for tight ends tight end is the most landing spot dependent position in fantasy. But I think it's the position that the general consensus is most clueless about what makes a good landing spot. It's not a case of just looking at a depth chart and going, oh, Brock Bowers would go to the Jets and he'd be the tight end one, and they don't have many other receiving options, so he'd get targets. That's not a good landing spot. We can have that issue with someone like Michael Mayer and stuff like that. What makes a good landing spot is how they're going to use him. I would feel more confident about Brock Bowers in fantasy and dynasty if he got drafted by the Lions and had to share a tight end room with Sam Laporta and a wide receiver room with Amon-Ra St. Brown than if he went to the Jets, because I am confident that Ben Johnson would know how to use Brock Bowers and would get the most out of Brock Bowers and would make him a really valuable fantasy asset rather than, as Andrew says, stick him on the Jets and Nathaniel Hackett just is clueless. But enough about Brock Bowers. I'm not going to take him here. I'm going to grab JJ McCarthy. I think that for me, if JJ McCarthy is a top 10 pick, I think he needs to be a top 6 pick in Superflex rookie picks, rookie drafts. So I think he's going to climb into that top 6, probably at the loss of Odunze. But I think he's definitely warranting a top 6 pick as long as he goes top 10 in the NFL draft.
Sounds good. Andrew, so up here at the 108, how do you feel about this sort of range of the draft? Is there still a few players that you feel good about, or is it starting to thin out?
Well, I think that Bauer still does kind of stand out because there's a chance that he does get, you know, a good landing spot with a team that knows kind of how to schematically use him. I think an underrated spot is like Denver, honestly. Like if he goes to Denver, who, I mean, they're in a position where they should just take like the best offensive player. And if he falls to 12, like I could see Sean Payton being like, all right, this is our new Joker or whatever he calls that stupid position every year. I mean, it's like, oh, this guy's gonna be the Joker. Like, okay, dude, whatever.
Oh, come on,
so as long
dude.
As, I mean, he could line him up. He could use him like Michael Thomas, like something like that. So you could see envision where he has success. So I will go with Brock Bowers here. But in terms of like the teardrop, I do think that there is kind of like a teardrop here because, you know, the next receiver like in the consensus is Brian Thomas. And I'm always kind of like, I've always had this blind side with number two receivers on teams with other receivers and like how that always like influences them in terms of like, are they overvalued? Are they undervalued? Because you never like see them as like the true alpha because of the offense they play in. So like through my whole fantasy career, it's like, I can never draft Jordy Nelson for some reason. Cause I was like, oh, well, Greg Jennings is there. And then like with Devon, like, I was like, I just couldn't do it. I was like, I can't draft the number two. And then I've obviously come to realize like there's a lot of value with that potentially. So I guess for me, it's like Brian Thomas, I agree that he should be kind of in that wide receiver fork discussion, but like value wise, is he the best bet? Like price? I'm not so sure. So yeah, I think that there is a bit of a teardrop here.
Okay, Richworth, there is a teardrop here. Can I tempt you with trading the 109 for a 205 and a random 25 second round pick?
Come on.
Probably. I'd rather move back like 3 or 4 picks if I can get 112 and, you know, maybe 2/3 or something like that. Like I'd rather do that kind of pick than move back all the way to the 205. But yeah, this is a pick that I don't really want to be making because the guy I want to take here and the guy I will be taking here, I think I can get in probably at least 2 picks, if not 3 or 4. I'm going to take Xavier Worthy.
So where do you want Xavier Worthy to land? Because that seems like the next big piece of this puzzle with Xavier Worthy. Like we've done the whole, yes, he's incredibly fast. Yes, we don't need to worry about that. Xavier Worthy is different. What he did as a true freshman, what he did throughout college is really impressive. So the next big thing for him, as much as landing spot doesn't matter as much at wide receiver as it does with tight end, there's still definitely better situations. So I know you're very high on him as a player. Where do you want him to land, Rich?
I want him to land somewhere where there's a X receiver that will allow him to play, you know, almost like Zay Flowers was used last year in terms of that Z slot receiver hybrid that can move around the offense, get free releases, be used in the short and intermediate and screen game, but also then occasionally be a deep threat. I've said this the other day, but if he could land with the Panthers, where, you know, they've potentially got Adam Thielen, who's a movable piece, sort of Z flanker. You've got Deontay Johnson, who isn't a prototypical X, but he's absolutely an X receiver. And then Xavier Worthy can just bring a bit of juice, bit of life, but also command a significant target share in the offense. I think that would be a fantastic landing spot for him.
If you want more of Rich's details on Xavier Worthy, hit the join button down below for less than the price of a cup of coffee. You'll get his rookie guide, which is almost 200 pages, film analytics. It's all in there, as well as access to a bunch of Dynasty content in our premium access. It is absolutely the tools you need to win this year. Andrew, are you a big Xavier Worthy fan?
Yeah, I really like Xavier Worthy a lot. And I don't know why. Like, I feel like his draft stock, like, I feel like it's actually like hurt him more in fantasy that he broke the record for the 40-yard dash, because now he's compared to all the other guys that ran fast 40s that all sucked. And it's like, guys, like, he was better than all, he was like a better prospect than all of them. So it's like, I wish he had run just like a 4.28 instead of a 4.21. It's like, and no one would be comparing him to John Ross and to like Hayward Bay and to all these guys that were horrible because all they had was the speed. Like, that's all they had. But Worthy, like, he has the special teams ability. He, like you mentioned before, like the early breakout age, like production, like legit production. So yeah, I mean, it's weird that I feel like we came like full circle with Xavier. I hopefully we do, and we just realize, hey, wow, he was good, and he just happened to also be fast. So
yeah, where are you going with the 110?
I am going to go stick with wide receiver here, and I'm just going to go with Brian Thomas Jr. So I talked about him a little bit earlier. Again, how will he be as like an alpha in an offense? It remains to be seen, because he obviously played with Malik Nabers, and the fact that I'm not sure. Like, I think Kayshon Booty was playing ahead of him 2 years ago, which concerns me dearly because of how
Kayshon Booty was good. Booty was good in college.
He was good, like, so early on. Oh my god. So there are some question marks, but I mean, again, another really explosive wide receiver. Again, I think that I would probably like to try to trade back in this situation here, because I do like some of the other receivers too, but I think Brian Thomas makes the most sense. Size, speed, threat. If he hits, you know, it's going to be a big payday.
So if Brian Thomas ended up with the Buffalo Bills, how confident would you be in that? Do you feel like, you know, that gives a sizable boost to his short-term outlook?
I think so. Yeah, because I just don't see a lot of other players on that offense necessarily fitting that role. I mean, if you're getting like a Gabe Davis, I mean, like, how many times are we chasing Gabe Davis to just be this guy? And it's like, okay, well, now we can get someone that's significantly better than Gabe Davis as a rookie coming in as a profile. And now you're putting him with Josh Allen. I mean, yeah, that would definitely, I could see that him entering and potentially leaping whoever goes to the Giants. Right from the top three, you could see that scenario where someone's going to convince themselves, because Brian Thomas is so good. Maybe it's Chris Sims, who has Brian Thomas ranked really, really high in his rankings, respected rankings. But yeah, I think that we could see him leap if he ends up in Buffalo with Josh Allen.
Nice. Rich, 111. Where are you going with this pick? Are you tempted by another quarterback or any of the running backs, or is this still wide receiver territory?
So if I was on the clock in a real draft, I'd be grabbing a wide receiver here. But I am going to hope that I reckon Andrew's not going to take him with the 112, because I'm higher than content on the guy I'd take. So I'm going to go and grab quarterback. I'm going to go Michael Penix. I think that he's going to go first round pick in the NFL draft. And for me, any quarterback draft in the first round that's got a chance to start year one or year two, they should be a first round pick in a rookie draft. So yeah, I love the potential of Michael Penix being a point guard of an offense. He's not going to, you know, create out of structure as he hasn't at Washington. But I think if he's got competent surrounding talent, he could be phenomenal.
And so how far is that a sliding scale for you? Like, if he was pick 50 or something around there in the second round, would he still be worthy of a first round pick to you?
No, so I mean, at that point, it would depend on landing spot and how soon I think he could start. You know, if he landed in, say, Las Vegas with the Raiders, where, yes, they've paid Gardner Minshew, but there's not much guaranteed after year one. They've got Aiden O'Connell. I could see a world where he could start year two. Then, yeah, he'd probably be an early second round pick for me. But if he landed in the second round behind, I'm trying to think of a quarterback, a team that would draft someone that's got an established quarterback, but say Saints. X team. Saints, yeah. Yeah. But, you know, he's not going anywhere for this year with his contract. I'd need to check the restructure, how much money he's got next year. But yeah, I probably wouldn't be drafting him till the back end of the second round at that point.
Andrew, what are your thoughts on Michael Penix, a player that's kind of risen a lot for you through this process, like with his testing and all that kind of stuff that's come about?
I've kind of remained neutral on Penix for the most part because, you know, he's been in the round one conversation at some point, and then sometimes you talk about, well, he's going to be like Hendon Hooker was. You know, obviously Hooker was entering last year already injured. Penix isn't injured now, but obviously has a track record of injuries. And he went in, you know, much later than people thought. So, yeah, I guess with Penix, it's like he ran a fast 40, but he never really ran, you know, in college. So it's like, is it the CJ Stroud thing where it's like, oh, well, he just wasn't, I mean, he just didn't need to run because that wasn't the offense. It's like, okay, like that could make sense. But like the multiple torn ACLs could also like play a factor in it too. No, I do think he's like, just like as a passer, like definitely one of the best pure passers in the class. I mean, there's a reason why like we're talking about three different receivers from Washington. And I do also have a feeling that there is potential that if the Patriots don't draft a quarterback at the top of the draft, like Penix is someone that they're going to be looking at because their wide receivers coach was the former offensive quality person for Washington last year. So they have intel on Michael Penix. So if they feel comfortable with where he is at health wise, then he could end up being on the Patriots. So that's, again, like a reason to be fearful of drafting Michael Penix if he's on the Patriots. But he would have a good receiver to throw to, probably, in that case, if he's not taken third overall. So I've kind of remained pretty neutral. I definitely like him more than Bo Nix, to be 1,000% clear. I don't think they're even the same stratosphere. So
great.
Okay, 112 here. Are you got any running backs that'll sneak up into this range, or are you sticking with the wide receivers?
I think we stick with wide receivers here. I just think that, I mean, maybe one of the running backs gets the best landing spot, and then he'll be the one that's ranked the highest, whoever ends up going to Dallas, and then probably be overdrafted. So again, I just want to, again, if I, in such a wide receiver rich draft, like you got to take as many shots as possible because you don't know which ones are going to hit, which ones won't, but I can guarantee you they won't hit if you draft a running back instead. like that's what I can guarantee. So I'll just continue to take stabs at receiver. So for me, it's between Troy Franklin and Ladd McConkey, who has been like, I think one of the more buzzy players, whereas Troy Franklin's kind of like dipped a little bit in terms of his stock. So I'll follow my rankings right now. So I have Troy Franklin ahead, so I'll take him, but
no.
Yeah. And I still reach this guy. So win, let's go.
There you go. That's a perfect example of why you shouldn't overthink drafting in fantasy.
So Rich, how high are you on Troy Franklin? Would you have taken him at 111 if you thought that maybe Michael Penix might have slipped to the 201?
Yeah, absolutely. For me, he's neck and neck with Worthy and Thomas. I think you can throw a hoop over all three. I think they should all be going in and around the same range. I think he's a fantastic prospect. He's getting dinged massively because he ran a poor gauntlet drill. But actually, if you go and watch the tape, I think he's a very good route runner. I think he's a good prospect. And I think that he's going to be a valuable NFL receiver. So yeah, 112, I think, is great value.
How much do you guys feel like this is how rookie drafts should play out, but the potential landing spot on running backs are going to change it to the point that they're going to start sneaking up in there? And after months of us saying, you know, there isn't really a first round running back apart from possibly Jonathan Brooks, who's injured. But when it comes to it, and the first for running backs and the first to use those picks and people saying, I've got a positional need, how many drafts in a percentage wise do you think we're going to see a first round running back in? Rich, I've got you first on that.
I think, you know, we had this conversation with Heath Cummings. He's adamant that a running back is going to go in the top nine in dynasty rookie drafts. And I'm probably not as strong as he is. I think there will be one in the first round, but you know, I'll keep saying it. We've even got t-shirts, Tom. Draft for talent, trade for need. There is no way a running back should be going in the first round of a rookie draft.
Yes, and those t-shirts are linked in the description. 20% off coming up in the next couple of weeks, so keep an eye on that site. Andrew, what sort of percentage of drafts do you reckon you'd see a rookie running back taking in the first round?
100%. Like there's going to be a rookie running back. And it brings me back to, I don't remember what draft it was, but I remember it was on the clock. I was looking at CeeDee Lamb and Keyshawn Vaughn. I was staring at the clock. I was like, okay, who am I going to pick? I need a running back. I did take Lamb, full disclosure. I made the right choice. made the right choice, but I was thinking about it. And if I was thinking about it, you know, everyone else is going to think about it too. I would say, don't overthink it. Again, just draft the receivers, man. Like, and if you miss out on the one running back, chances are you're going to be happier the receiver you draft anyway, because the running back that gets way overdrafted, like, that's going to nuke your team when you could miss out on one of these receivers that could be so good for such a long time. Yeah, that's all I'll say. Remember this, CeeDee Lamb versus Keyshawn Vaughn. That happened to me, and I made the right decision, but don't let that be you.
Rich, so you got sniped on Troy Franklin. Where are you going here?
I'm shook a little bit, if I'm being brutally honest, because it's truly thrown me. But I will go with the running back position. Give me Jonathan Brooks. I think he's the best back in this class. If I'm in theory, got the 201, I'm probably not a very good team. Hopefully, if I'm rebuilding, I can afford to wait, you know, half a season, a full season, if he does get redshirted, for him to come back. But I think when he's fully healthy, when he's firing, I think he's got three down potential, which I'm not convinced anyone else in this draft has at the running back position.
Andrew, is Jonathan Brooks your RB1?
No, he's not. I'm a little bit lower on him. I just very fearful of the ACL injury. And I know they're saying all the right things, but it's like, just name a rookie running back that was productive year one, turning off a torn ACL. Not name Todd Gurley. There is none. Willis McGay, he missed his entire rookie year. Like, I get that I get that it's farther apart. Like, that's much longer in terms of time span. But, like, we were complaining about how good Blake Corum was this past year coming off a torn ACL. It's like, what do we expect to see from Brooks, especially from a team that's going to – they invest, like, a day two pick on him. Why would they try to rush him back? Like, I could see him – like, the thing with Brooks, I would love to see him go to, like, the Bengals. Just, like, let Zach Moss and Chase Brown just do whatever for, like, the first 3 months of the year, and then just unleash Jonathan Brooks down the final month of the year. Like, that's an ideal spot, I think, for me. It's not for Brooks to be, like, pushed in right away versus, you know, some back-end production.
I'm dreaming of the Cardinals in the third round. Yeah. Let James Conner run for a year and then let Jonathan Brooks come in next year. Give him a full red shirt.
That sounds perfect. Andrew, where are you going with the 202?
I'm going to go with Lamekonke.
Nice. Do you feel like he's quite landing spot dependent, or do you feel like he's just got enough talent that he's just going to hit the ground running anywhere in the NFL?
I think he does. I think that he kind of has a little bit of the, not to compare him stylistically to Puka Nacua, but in terms of, like, he's really, really efficient, you know, but also dealt with a lot of injuries, similar to how Puka did. And that's kind of why he kind of fell to the wayside a little bit. But I think people are starting to just, like, again, like, put on the tape and just watch him conquer. You're like, man, this guy's, like, getting open, like, nonstop. And even last year, he was still efficient, top 5 yards per route run. And I get that he gets, like, the Julian Edelman comps and Wes Welker, like, just because he's a white receiver. Like, basically, that's, like, literally why he's getting the comps. But to me, you're just looking at some of his metrics in terms of his speed. Like, I mean, I put it on Twitter, like, his mock draftable, like, one of his comps is Will Fuller. And I'm like, oh my God, if we get another Will Fuller, sign me up. So, yeah.
Okay, Rich, 203, where are you going with this pick? I feel like Lamekonke would have been the pick for you there if he'd been available.
No, I probably would have let him fall about 4 or 5 picks, to be honest. I'm really not excited about Ladd, to be brutally honest. I can't believe I'm going to become the running back guy, but I'm going to take Trey Benson. Again, I feel like he's a great athlete, got potential. I think that he's going to get draft capital, and I think that if anyone is going to flash in this draft class outside of Brooks, it'll be Benson.
Nice. Andrew, was Trey Benson your RB1?
Yes.
Yeah, Trey Benson was my RB1. And how do you feel about this RB class in general, Andrew? I know that we lack the Bijan Robinson, the Breece Hall, but do you feel like there's enough of these kind of second round running backs that they're worth taking shots on once we do get into the second round of rookie drafts?
I think so. Yeah, I mean, I think that once you hit a certain threshold when it comes to the receivers where you don't really feel like the next tier is, I feel like it's much bigger and you can kind of just take your pick your flavor. Whereas, like, I know, at least for me, like, I feel pretty firm with, like, the top running backs in this class in that tier. And it's like, hey, if I can grab one of those guys or one or two of those guys in the second round, like, that's all I need and we'll roll with whoever I get versus I don't want to miss out on a receiver that I really think could be top tier in a class. It's like, guys, like the NFL has told us like they love the receivers in this class and they hate the running backs. Like that's because all the free agency money that went to running backs. Like the NFL's not going to be high in this class. And we as fantasy gamers always want, like, we're always going more optimistic. Oh, this guy will be drafted in round two. Like, and that would surprise me if we don't see running back drafted until round three. And that's startling. And it's like, oh, now he went in round four. I mean, Roshan Johnson, like, comparing him, like, he was a round four pick last year. Like, where would he be in this class? Like, I feel like he'd be ranked, like, decently high. And he was a round four pick last year. So, yeah, I think that it's better to be bearish on the running backs and just be more bullish on receivers. I think that you'll come out in the green if you were just more aggressive drafting receivers versus drafting running backs.
So is that where you're going, receiver, this pick 204?
Yeah, I think I'm just going to take Mitchell. I am not particularly high on him myself, but it's more of a draft capital play. Like, I'm really kind of surprised like he's going to be a round one pick. I get like he's a side speed specimen, but for me, I see like a lot of DJ Chark. I'm just like, man, like, I don't know how I feel about that. And I mean, I'd rather have Worthy. So it's like Mitchell, if Mitchell gets drafted ahead, I mean, I've heard that Mitchell could go like as the receiver four, like ahead of Brian Thomas. And like, and then his price is going to skyrocket just because he went high. And I'm like, I've seen plenty of receivers go high and bust. So like, I don't need to take him, but here in the middle of the second round, I think that's good value for a first round rookie receiver.
Yeah, Adam Schefter was on the Established the Run podcast last week and said that he's very confident that A.D. Mitchell could go in the first 20 picks. But then we had a great video with Dwayne McFarland last week where we talked about wide receivers and analytical sides of evaluating these wide receivers. And Dwayne called A.D. Mitchell the most overrated wide receiver in this class.
Come on.
I'm not going to argue with Dwayne McFarland when it comes to player evaluation. Rich, who are you going with at the 205?
I'll grab Keon Coleman. I think draft capital play, I've talked about this in his rookie profile. I don't love the player, but I can see him. I see NFL traits, and I think that he could be competent. So yeah, I'm happy to go and grab him here.
Nice. Andrew, before you make your next pick, if I was to offer you, if you've got a rebuilding team and you've got this pick here, the 206, and I offered you a random 25 second for this pick, would you take it hoping that it became like the 201, or do you still prefer the players on the board here?
We don't even know if we're going to be alive next year. So I'm just going to stick a pick. I'm just going to stick a pick. I part of the rookie drafts is like, part of it's like, it's just fun. Honestly, that's why it's like, you could always trade them all away and like get picks and like get good value. But it's like, guys, like, I just want to have fun, man. Like, I want to draft rookies. It's just fun. So I'll stick a pick.
Love that. Excellent. So who are you going with? It better be a fun pick here now.
I'm going to pick the most cookie cutter running. I'm going Blake Corum, cookie cutter running back. I don't think that he's particularly special in any way, but I think that's going to get him drafted high relative to the other running backs in the class, because I think he just does all the things that coaches like. He can pass protect. He can pick up the yards in between the tackles. He's got good vision. He can catch passes. He scores touchdowns. So it's like, I mean, Harbaugh can only let him slip so many times before he eventually has to take him. So, you know, like, it's either Jim Harbaugh or John Harbaugh. Like, he's got the Harbaugh buffers to fall back on. So I think Corum will get decent draft capital. And for him, he needs volume, I think it's safe to say. But, you know, as a round three pick, lands on a decent depth chart, I think that he could make some noise.
So a backfield of Gus Edwards and Blake Corum, would that be the highest floor, lowest ceiling combination in the NFL?
Yeah, 100%.
Rich, 207, what are you doing?
Given its tight end premium, I'm going to go Jatavion Sanders. I think that an okay combine has people have him falling, but I think go and plug on the tape. This guy's a threat down the seam. I think he's going to translate to the NFL, and I think, yeah, it might take him half a season to a season to get going, but I think his ceiling is phenomenal, and I think there'd be an awful lot of hype about him if there wasn't for a guy called Brock Bowers in this draft. So, yeah, I'm happy taking him mid to back end of the second round because I think the talent is there.
Andrew, how are you feeling about this tight end class outside of Brock Bowers? I mean, obviously last year's tight end class just turned into fantasy gold on several levels, but this year it's not really picking up a lot of chatter. Is there anyone you particularly like outside of Bowers?
I like Ben Sinnott. I just am like concerned that he, I should make sure he doesn't get used as like a fullback. Like, that's my one concern. Is like, right, just gotta make sure he doesn't go, like, we need to be clear if they like say Ben Sinnott, fullback, right? Not drafting this guy. Like, I just gotta make sure that I pay attention to what position he's playing if he is a tight end. So I do like Ben Sinnott. Jaheim Bell is very interesting because he checks off a lot of like analytical boxes, but the NFL is like much lower on him than a lot of fantasy fantasy services are, because it's just his profile has not succeeded at the NFL level whatsoever. Like, I was like looking back at his profile, I was like, wait, this guy had like 80 carries. I was like, wait, what? Like, this is a tight end getting carries. I was like, oh my God. Like, I mean, is this going to be a Jonnu Smith on the Patriots experiment thing? Like, I was very like, my mind was blown. I was looking. So I think he's kind of intriguing, but besides those types of guys, no one in particular. I think the thing to point about last year's class, and it's about the quarterback that that rookie tight end goes to. You know, it's funny because we looked at the last three, the tight ends that were the top three last year. I think consensus was Michael Mayer, Sam Laporta, and Dalton Kincaid. Two of them got really good quarterbacks. One of them got Aiden O'Connell. It's like, of course, what happened? What happened? Do you think, I don't think that if Michael Mayer had been on the Lions or the Bills, like, we would be talking about him as a top five tight end in Dynasty. Like, there's no doubt in my mind that that would have happened because he had the talent to do what those guys did to some extent, but he got buried on the Raiders behind alpha receivers and horrible quarterback play where he never had a chance to do anything. So I think that you should be really open. Again, we talked about it earlier with Brock Bowers. Like, where is this tight end going? Like, what team is he on? Like, who's his quarterback? Like, that matters so much. So don't be so attached to, oh, I love this tight end. Like, if Jaheim Bell gets drafted in the seventh round, it's like, dude, I'm not going to be high on him anymore. Like, I'm done. So that's something I'm concerned about as well.
Okay, we'll rapid fire last Pruvi's last few picks. Where are you going at with 208, Andrew?
I'm going to go with Braylon Allen. Super young running back. I think he's got some upside. I'm just surprised that I feel like there's more hate about him in general than for a running back that's like so young and so big. Like, I felt like I was going to have to be like, oh, he's going to be too hyped up. I'm going to have to fade him. And it's like, it seems like everybody hates Braylon Allen because he hasn't run to like his 40. It's like his agent is probably just being really smart. And I wish that he had the same age as Audric Estime. I wish I'd never seen Audric Estime run a 40-yard dash at the combine, but unfortunately I did. So
great. I wrote a great stat down today. So Braylon Allen will be younger at the end of his rookie contract than Ray Davis is at the day he gets drafted.
Dude, he's so young, man. I love the youth.
All right, Rich, where are you going at the 209?
After I was rudely sniped, I'm going to go back to the wide receiver position. I'll have Malachi Corley. I'm not exactly sure how he's going to get used in the NFL. I'm fed up of hearing Debo comps because he's not Debo, but I think he could be a really interesting movable piece in an offense, and I think he's a competent enough route runner to carve out a decent target share.
Nice. Andrew, 210.
I'll take Leggett. Xavier Leggett.
How do you feel about him? He seems like quite a polarizing prospect at the minute.
Yeah, no, I think that he is. I think that he's so like landing spot dependent. Like, I think he's like massive boomer bust. Kind of reminds you like of Jonathan Mingo in that way, where if Mingo had gone to the right situation, you could have seen his skills really highlighted more. And I think with Leggett, I think it's something very similar, where it's like he does something well in a particular way. I know he's been kind of comped to like Metcalf in that way, and Metcalf went to a really good spot and it made sense for how they used him. So again, whichever team the Steelers draft, like whatever receiver the Steelers draft, I'm going to like, because I know I have confidence that they know what they're doing. I mean, the Steelers knew when to get out with Chase Claypool. Like, they knew. Like, they're just so smart when it comes to receivers. They're like, we knew he was good as rookie year. We can still sell him off. And they did. Like, they're just so forward thinking with receivers that we know they're going to take one probably day two. And I'm going to like that guy. And if it's Leggett, then it's like, all right, if they think that he can succeed, so do I.
Rich, your last pick of this draft, who've you got?
I'm going to go back to the quarterback world. Give me Bo Nix. Look, I'm not a believer, but it seems like the NFL seems to like him. So at this point, even if he's a day two pick, if he's going to get a chance to be a starter, I feel like he's decent value at this point.
Okay, and Andrew, round it out with one last pick of the draft. Give the viewers an excellent pick to take home.
All right, you're going to have to scroll down then to get this guy. So I'm going to go with Javon Baker, UCF. I think he's someone you can get much later in your drafts because, I mean, you're still scrolling. So, but this is someone that Derek Brown has been super high on in during the process. And he's someone that I kind of like went back and reevaluated to try to understand, like, am I missing something here? Like, I didn't have him ranked very high, but I just recently moved him to like my, I think he's my 11th ranked receiver and great body control. I guess I went back and watched more of him. And I was like, I see what Derek is seeing here. Like, I understand why he's so high on him because of the way that he's manipulating his body in the air to get to adjust to the ball. And I was trying to like come up with a comp for him. And it's like, he kind of reminds me of like Devonta Smith. And it's like, oh yeah, he was learning under Devonta Smith when he was at Alabama. Like, he wasn't playing really that much, but he was still practicing with guys like Smith and Jalen Waddle when he was there before he transferred to UCF. So it's like, this guy's got the Alabama pedigree and then he transferred to UCF. But I like, in my mind, I'm like, okay, like, what if he had stayed at Alabama? And what if he had had similar production numbers? Now, again, this is all what-if scenarios, but we're also looking at a guy that you can get in round three of your rookie drafts. So for me, it's like he may have some untapped potential to really be something big. So Javon Baker, I think, is a name to kind of keep in mind at some of your later rounds for these rookie drafts.
Nice. And before we round things out completely, any kind of thoughts on this draft, any surprises or anything like that? Or do you feel pretty good about how most of these rookie mock drafts are playing out now?
I think for the most part, I think these are like more fun rookie mock drafts than I think have had been the last couple of years. I feel like you can kind of go after your guys a little bit more. I like that the running backs are a cluster and it's like, oh, we don't really know, like kind of pick your guys. And I don't feel like you should be so locked into the ADP, like pick your guys because the tiers are there, but the tiers are wide, you know, with players. So you can really just pick the guy that you like the most in that certain tier and then kind of go from there. So I really like this rookie class. I think it's really fun, especially for drafting purposes. And ultimately, like, I just can't wait for Dallas to draft a running back and for that guy to just, oh my God, Ray Davis to the moon. That would be hilarious. Oh my God.
Rich, any thoughts from you?
Yeah, I think it's interesting, isn't it? Because I think outside of that top sort of 7 and 8, it feels like the tier from pick 9 to pick 15, 16 is pretty flat. And as Andrew said, it's going to be interesting because the NFL draft is going to change a lot of things. But I don't necessarily see it changing that big top tier and then a big second tier unless we see 3-4 wide receivers go in that first round and that almost becomes a second tier at the back end of the first. But I think it's going to be fascinating to see how things play out in a couple of weeks because as I said, I think there's going to be a lot of go and get your guy once you get outside of those top sort of 8 or 9 picks.
Andrew, anything on Fantasy Pros coming from you this week that people should absolutely be reading?
Yeah, so it's probably going to be more NFL mock drafts is what I'm working on. I'm working on, or tomorrow, being released on Tuesday, April 16th. I'm dropping my, like, big board. So it's going to be, like, my top 100 players overall in the NFL draft. So, yeah, I mean, it's all just really just draft content. Running back sleepers and wide receiver sleepers in the class will also be being released as I kind of, like, put the final touches on, like, pre-draft rankings. Like, my final pre-draft rankings that I won't change until a day after the draft. And that'll change them again, probably. But no, I'm just super excited for the NFL draft. And I was super pumped to come on with you guys. Like, thank you guys for having me so much. I love doing mock drafts. Love talking about the NFL draft, talking about these rookies, talking about Ray Davis, Braylon Allen. I'm never going to forget that, Rich, that you brought that up. Like, that is just like, oh my God, chef's kiss when it comes to stats.
Well, we really appreciate you being on. And if you've enjoyed it, hit the like button, leave us a comment below and tell us what you think about the fact that Andrew almost drafted Keyshawn Vaughn over CeeDee Lamb.
Almost.
Tell us which of these picks you liked. And if you want the rookie guide from Rich, version 2 is in the works. It'll be coming out very soon. Hit that join button. Less than the price of a cup of coffee every month. Best ball season round the corner. We'll be trying to get Andrew back on for a best ball draft once we're into the flow of that. Rookie sleeper picks come in every day this week. Never been a better time to be a subscriber to Fantasy Sanctuary.